Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this satsang, as we like to call it, or our radio program, is being aired for Sunday, April the 2nd, 2017. And we're going to talk about emotional intelligence. What an oxymoron this one's going to be. I've gotten a few emails on this over the past 4 or 5 months, and I have cultivated them and saved them and all of that so we could have this radio program. I want to remind you that this radio program, as you well know, is supported solely and entirely upon sponsorship. People who see the value of the program and make a quarterly or monthly donation to help us sustain our radio efforts and our TV efforts on a website at aspire.org as we try to serve humankind in the most unusual way. And I hope that you will hear this plea and become a sponsor. It's a very easy thing to do. It will help so many people, people like yourself who are listening. And if you go to the website at aspire.org and you see support, you will see why support Aspire. And it will give you some insight into why it is so important, what we do with your donations, and how we keep this whole thing alive. And I hope you will give it serious consideration. Everything costs money. Airtime costs money. Everything does. And without your support, I could not be here to share with you these radio programs or the TV programs that you see on the website or on television. So thank you. And please consider being a sponsor. We need you. Well, I get from time to time these wonderful emails from people, and I deeply appreciate it, about emotionality and what is emotional intelligence, and people will claim to be emotionally intelligent. I remember the book by Daniel Goleman. I read it, was not impressed at all. It's not my bag of... Let me read to you the definition of emotional intelligence, okay? The capacity to be aware of, control, and express one's emotions, and to handle interpersonal relationships judiciously and empathetically. Now, the last two words there, judiciously and empathetically, are not the qualities of being emotional. Being emotional is going off the rack, you know, just getting downright nutty, where we believe that whatever we are feeling that is being threatened in our bodies, maybe the fear of survival or whatever we're going through, our ego, our vanity, our pride, our hubris, is all being threatened. So it's going to be very hard to judiciously and empathetically handle our emotions or be judicious or empathetic about our emotions when they are in full bloom. The capacity to be aware of, control, and express one's emotions. When's the last time you controlled your emotions? And if you're really honest and forthright, you will see they control you and me. They control us. They've been given way too much leeway in our life, and they cause us not to be judiciously and empathetically kind to others and ourselves and people in general through our emotionality, but rather ruthless, judgmental, and basically, without a shadow of a doubt, mean-spirited. Jesus would have called this emotionality the hardness of heart that most of us suffer from. Buddha would have talked about it as the whole idea of walking away from the authentic heart and just living in the human heart. So let's get into emotional intelligence here. From Cindy in, where is this? New York City. Emotional intelligence. What is it, Greg? Do women have more intelligence than men because we are more emotional? Cindy, no. It isn't the quantity of your emotions. It's the way you deal with them. Now, if you were to deal with them, let us say, in a judicious or empathetic way, then they would not be emotional. See, emotions need, Cindy, free rein to be emotional. They need to have a great deal of fear. Fear is the total emphasis of what it means to be emotional. Fear is the basis of all emotion. We don't have positive or negative emotions. We just have one emotion, and it's about fear. Now, how it is interpreted, how it runs through us, can go through many avenues. Sometimes it looks like we're really happy, we're elated with whatever is going on, but it's still fear. It's fear in a way that is making us believe that somehow, some way, things are going our way. It is fear that is being used to carve out, shall we say, the right atmosphere for us to believe that we're doing all right, that something is happening that is good. But at any given moment, that fear can turn on you. At any given moment, that fear can change to something really ugly in a heartbeat. All of a sudden, you could lose it all. All of a sudden, everything could go haywire. So when I'm indulging, Cindy, my emotions, am I being intelligent? The capacity to be aware of, control, and express one's emotions. So let's say you're really pissed off. You're aware that you're pissed off. And you try to control it and express your emotions and handle them in interpersonal relationships with judicious, shall we say, judgment on what would be appropriate and inappropriate based on the empathy you might feel for another person. Could you feel this way about someone who harmed someone you loved? Or did you wrong in some way, in whatever way you believe? I don't think so. People use vengeance, and they use it through pride. And this is a form, this vengeance and pride is a form of our identity, our self-esteem. And we use it as a way to, this anger and this emotionality, to perpetuate our emotionality and our idea of ourself as an esteemed person. Why you don't get away with that? Why you can't do that to me? Well, I'll show you. You deceived me. You lied to me. You did this. You did that. Is that judicious? Is that empathetic? I don't think so. The capacity to be aware of, control, and express one's emotions. We're good at expressing our emotions. We're very good at it. We will do very ugly things in order to share our feelings about whatever. You ask me, Cindy, do women have more intelligence than men? We're all the same. We're all equal. Men are just childish pigs, and in general. And women, oh my God, I don't want to even get into that. They're nuttier than fruitcakes, especially when they have some reason to be emotional and to pour out their vengeance in ways that look very logical, reasonable, even right. People like to think they're right all the time, but they're not. So we like to think these thoughts that we're having the right to be unkind to someone or to hurt someone because they hurt us. And we're being judicious about it and empathetic. Empathy goes out the window when emotions are at play inside. When we're highly emotional about something, someone took something that was ours, or someone deceived us, or someone didn't do us right, I think that empathy goes right out the window. When's the last time you were very emotional about something and could be empathetic, thinking about what your enemy is going through? And maybe thinking about the whole idea that maybe this wasn't right and you have been done wrong and you didn't deserve this and all the rationale that happens. We rationalize our evil over and over and over again. So, Cindy, it's men and women struggle with this. It isn't just a man issue. It's a woman issue, too. It's everybody's issue. How do we deal with our emotions? And we have so many. We have to see them for what they are. This is the big deal. You have to be able to see your emotionality for the way it is. It comes out of DNA. It is expressed through your genetic disposition. And as it expresses through there, it gets not filtered, but either amplified or, shall we say, detailed, gets refined as to how mean a person can be. Forgiveness is not a part of emotional intelligence. Nowhere there in this definition does the idea of compassion and emotion enter in, because compassion and emotion are not the same. If I am highly angry at you and I'm in great fear of you, it's going to be hard for me mentally to control my emotions enough to look at you and have some sort of compassion towards you. Not empathy, compassion, where I come back not in vengeance and pride, but in mercy and forgiveness. And this is what the masters all were teaching us. From Buddha to Jesus to Lao Tzu, this is what they are teaching. You don't get punished for your anger. You get punished by your anger, according to the Buddha. And I agree. It's a very difficult subject, Cindy, for most people, male or female. It doesn't matter. It is the issue of our millennium. It is the issue of this world. It is the issue of our life. How do you deal with emotions? And every time you are talking to someone, you are talking to their emotionality, not to them. Cindy, I hope this is a good little introduction. I'm sure it didn't quench your thirst or give you the emotional high that you were looking for, but there you are. You asked. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a hot subject. Next one comes from Kathy in Florida. How should one deal with one's emotions to help us use them more wisely? Kathy, this is a very good question and a very wise one. Here's how you do it. I'll tell you. The first thing you have to do is back off of your emotions. Back way off. In other words, don't talk to them. Don't interact with them. Don't fulfill them through gratification, entertainment. Don't do any of that. You will find if you sit quietly for any period of time, and it won't take long, your emotions will become impatient. They will want some kind of input. They're going to want entertainment. They're going to want to tell you you're hungry. They're going to want to bring up your past. They're going to want to bring up your future. They're going to bring up stories, all sorts of things. These things generally cause us to live our life in anticipation of and hope of something better than what we are experiencing now. We have trained our mind to accept our emotions and then to amplify them. And hence they get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing that you feel deep inside that you've been toiling with, whether consciously or unconsciously all night, is your emotionality. It just goes on and on and on and on. And then you and I wake up and we feel, oh, I have to do this today. I have to do that today. Have you ever been asleep and all of a sudden in the middle of the night remembered what you didn't do the day before and you had forgotten it? And bingo, I've had this happen many times. Oh my gosh, I got this to do. Oh my gosh, I forgot to do that. And then the emotions start coming out and you can't get back to sleep. Because the emotions are pouring into you saying you didn't do this yet. And you hear these voices in the back of your unconscious mind that are telling you this, this, and this about yourself. So whatever those things are that we do to ourselves, we have to go on a diet. We have to, so to speak, cut them loose. And you have to have some discipline. So here's how you do it. During the day, you don't eat when you're not hungry. You don't go on a side path, start thinking side path thoughts about, well, if I get this done, then I can go do that. And that is what I really like to do. You don't tempt or taunt yourself with the idea of a hope of a better moment coming. I can't wait to see Hootin' Duty. I can't wait to see my son or my daughter or my husband, my wife. You don't go into that. You simply watch your breath and you stay right here. Because this is what's happening now. Whatever this moment is. You don't allow yourself to have any kind of discussion or fantasy about what you would like your life to be. Now, there is the rub. Now, a lot of people just won't and can't do that. And a lot of, you know, what do I want to call them? Nefarious kinds of teachers who are trying to teach you how to think and grow rich attitude will tell you that's not the right thing to do. But I'm telling you, you will have immense insights if you stay quiet. You will have immense sense of what to do next that is led by your intuition, and a new intuitive awakening will start to occur within you that will show you exactly what you need to do, how you need to do it, and when you need to do it. It is not something you need to question or analyze or theorize. It's none of that. You just sit with yourself quietly and allow for the capacity of you to expand beyond your emotionality, which is based in DNA of fear of survival. And when I am no longer afraid that I can't survive, or something bad is going to happen, or something good is going to happen, that is when I enter into the authentic meaning of what it is to find that still point within me. It is in that still point that I find the gap and the pauses between my thoughts. And there, it's not fantasy. There is the reality. So you ask me, how should I deal with, you know, my emotions and all of this and use them? Your emotions will turn into faith if you allow them to. If you no longer fill them with all sorts of desire, ambition, and pride and vanity, they will turn into faith, a conduit that actually helps your body and your mind focus on your intuition. Your intuition is the power and the strength of your daily living. If you lose your intuition to, well, fantasy, then you have lost everything you need to help you through and in this beautiful life of ours. But when you and I back off of our emotional nature, this beautiful intuition steps in, and you will find that your emotions pare down, 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 and become a conduit for your intuition to express itself through your body through your mind and through everything you think, say, and do. And now your life takes a new turn. A turn for something beautiful to happen, not something that is inevitable in the negative or in the what you would call the positive. Remember, what goes up must come down. So as positive as things can be is also as difficult and negative as things can be, because that's the way the emotions are built. But when you and I are no longer depending on them to give us what only the spiritual heart can give, that is when our emotions become a conduit of faith in love. And that is huge. Huge. And much more than the average pedestrian mentality can absorb. And I hope that you could absorb that, Kathy. I hope it helped. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question from Jane in Texas. What should I do with my emotions? They get overboard really quick, and I don't even know what I'm doing, and I don't even know myself when I'm doing it, Jane. Jane, this is exactly what I'm talking about, and that's why I chose your email. It's not intelligent to live like that. And sometimes we're predisposed genetically to our DNA to such a degree that everything frightens us. Everything's about fear. Everything's about losing whatever it is that we think is so very important. So it's very difficult for us to deal with our emotions. And when you go over the top, bipolar, go from one extreme to another, it is a sign of a genetic difficulty. And much as I hate to say this, it would take a Herculean effort on your part to want to slow this down and stop it by no longer indulging in anything emotional that would take you over the top. You have to walk that middle ground. Not too much over here, not too much over there. Nati, nati, neither this, neither that. Non-duality. And when I'm in a non-dualistic frame of mind, then I can see my emotions for what they are and what they're doing. And I am not fooled by my emotions. But when I'm the average person doing the average life, doing the average living, I miss all this. I do. And I go into dualistic thinking. I think there are the bad people, there are the good people. Anyone who's not doing what I want them to do are bad, and anyone who's doing what I want them to do is good. And we can live in this kind of craziness and miss our whole life. So you're going to have to learn to watch your breath. You're going to have to learn to pare down getting overly excited for the good things and overly excited for the bad things. You can't be watching movies that perpetrate your weakest attributes like fear. People like to be afraid. We teach children how to be afraid at a very early age by exposing them to movies. Movies that look harmless to us but aren't harmless to their psyche. You're going to have to go on a kind of a diet there. And not do that. And if you can do what I'm saying, or kind of listen to what I'm saying and understand that this is for your benefit, your emotions are going to get bored and they're going to want to do all sorts of crazy things. And that's where you do your inner work. That's where you watch your breath. That's where you do one thing at a time, and you do it very well, and you focus on one thing at a time. If you're scrubbing toilets, you're scrubbing toilets. If you're vacuuming, you're vacuuming. If you're at work, you're at work. If you're with your loved ones, you're just with your loved ones. But you can't be entertaining everything with your emotionality. Should you do that, you're going to find yourself off the Richter scale really quick, and it will be very hard for you to deal with any of your emotions except through medication. I'm out of here. I hope that this helped. Thank you so much, Jane, for your kind question, and I hope you will forgive me. It's been quite a week of questions. I hope that they served you well, and I appreciate your attention and your loving kindness. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.